And now we're going back to the art world. And as the year winds down, the list of top songs of 2020, top movies of 2020 and others are starting to appear. And the BBC's released a list of the most striking images of 2020. There are only 14 pictures on that list. And the top of the pile is a stunning photograph of a breaching great white shark taken in August this year by none other than our very own exceptionally talented Chris Fellows. Chris joins us on the line now to reflect on the year and what the future holds for him. Chris, thanks for joining us. I know you weren't feeling well yesterday. I do hope you're feeling much better today.
I am. Thank you. Thank you, Amy. Yeah, today I'm feeling a lot better and glad it was just a stomach bug.
Chris, you and I last spoke in October when you just won a very prestigious accolade at the Saatchi Gallery in London for a different image of a great white shark than the one that's on the BBC's list. For our listeners that may have missed that news, can you tell us about that?
Yeah, Amy, so I was very lucky to be invited to submit a portfolio to be exhibited at the Saatchi Art Gallery in London in October, and there were about approximately 1,000 entrants from all around the world, and I was very honoured to be chosen as the winner for that particular art exhibition, which was it was a particularly big honour for me in that, you know, for the first time my work was seen as transitioning from not just being seen as photography, but really being seen as contemporary art as well. And I think for wildlife photographers as a whole, it was a big step forward.
And then shortly after winning that award, you took off on another adventure into Africa, didn't you?
We did. I have to say that 2020, for all its terrible misgivings, also provided many amazing opportunities, and none more so than engrossing, you know, ourselves in the natural world without, you know, overcrowded parks and huge amounts of tourists. And whilst it was a huge bonus for ourselves, obviously, you know, for the parks themselves and the rangers and the people that work there, it's a tough time. But to see those environments without huge volumes of people, it was simply incredible. You know, we spent a lot of time in Amboseli camping with the Maasai in the wilds of that area, and that was an absolutely humbling experience to see how those proud people live without, you know, what we consider necessary resources in the Western world, with, you know, things like vacuum cleaners and dishwashers and going to the shops every 5 minutes. They have the absolute basics, and they're incredibly healthy, they're incredibly happy, and it was just the most amazing experience to camp with them. And then to have had the opportunity to photograph, you know, some of the last remaining iconic tuskers in Africa. Sadly, today it's said that there may be as few as 30 of the great tuskers, you know, tuskers and an elephant with roughly 100 pounds of ivory on either side of its trunk, and there are very few of these animals left. So to be in close quarters with those animals was just a privilege that, you know, words can barely describe.
If you've just joined us, I'm in conversation with award-winning wildlife photographer and artist Chris Fellows. If you'd like to ask Chris any questions about his work, or you'd like to comment on some of his photographs that you have seen, his photograph of the great white sharks are exceptionally well-known and circulated. You can do so. Give us a call on 021-446-0567 or send a WhatsApp for Chris on 072-567-1567. Chris, in your blog post, Reflections on 2020, A Year of Contrast, which caught my eye yesterday, you mentioned how, and you've said it before today as well, how incredible it was to experience Africa's wildlife when it's quiet and relatively free of other tourists, but at the same time how dire the industry is without the injection of tourist dollars.
Absolutely. You know, it really is a double-edged sword, and I almost felt guilty for, you know, enjoying the parks as much as I did, because to be quite honest, as pleasurable as it is to be there without people, it's the tourists that are keeping those parks alive. It's the tourists that are keeping the rangers employed and, you know, and keeping the lodges going. And ironically, without that tourist dollar, you know, the animals really suffer, as you get a lot more encroachment into the parks. You see a lot more poaching. And I think wildlife, as much as many people think it would be better off without tourism, it desperately needs a tourism dollar to come back. So it was an incredible experience to be there. You know, to be at the crossing of the Mara River, where you can generally have upwards of 100 vehicles, and for us to be the only people watching thousands of wildebeest crossing in front of us, sure, it's something I'll never see in my life again. Mm-hmm. And it was an incredible experience, but also, you know, a time to reflect on how in today's economy we need to balance things, where, you know, wildlife sadly can't exist without some sort of human input or footprint.
And it must have allowed you to get incredible photographs. Can you talk to us about some of your favorites?
Yeah, Amy, it really did. You know, the big thing as a wildlife photographer is you need time. You need time in the field, and you need time to get your mind in the right space to understand what the essence of a particular subject is. And by having, you know, very little pressure on these animals, the animals were extremely comfortable with me at close quarters. And I could really set up and plan shots. And I had herds of elephants that, you know, in a week to 10 days became very familiar with me. They didn't see me as a threat at all and would readily approach me. And, you know, I was able to get shots from ground level of magnificent matriarchal herds crossing the dry lakes of Amboseli, in the Serengeti, to get shots of leopards and lions and cheetahs on granite boulders that weren't being pressured by people and as such were very happy to open. And you know, it just really gave me unprecedented opportunities that in 30 years of wildlife photography I've never had before. And you know, I really hope that more opportunities like that exist in the future, but in reality I think it was just an incredible time that I was lucky enough to have in my life.
I'm sure people at home that are listening to this conversation would love to see some of these photographs that you're talking about. Where can people view them? Is there any exhibition planned soon?
Amy, the vagaries of COVID don't really make for know exactly what is possible, but we will be exhibiting again at the Saatchi Gallery later this year, and we have got a couple of plans coming up for Cape Town with the food and art fair later in the year. But for now, our work can be viewed online or through Instagram, Chris Fallows Photography. Also got a website, chrisfallows.com. So those are the best online portals for now, but hoping to get a couple of exhibitions up and away as soon as we know what's going on with this terrible affliction.
Yeah, sure, I hear you. If you're just tuning in, I'm chatting to Chris Fallows, the wildlife artist, about his award-winning work and his year that was 2020. If you'd like to comment or give us a call and ask Chris a question, please do so. Chris, you've mentioned a few things that are coming up next year, such as your exhibition at the Saatchi Gallery and the Cape Town Food and Art Fair. What else are your plans for 2021?
Well, at this stage, we've got an incredibly busy year ahead of us. How much of that will actually come to fruition, Amy, you know, who knows? But our year starts with a trip to the Central Kalahari, where I go specifically to photograph lions. I'll then be hosting a series of documentaries in New Zealand looking at great white sharks. We'll be doing a couple of documentaries in South Africa shortly after that, focusing on marine life and great white sharks again. In June, we're supposed to be heading to Amboseli. I think in October, we've got Namibia, and then I've got an incredible expedition to Mexico for striped marlin. And following on from that, going to be photographing orcas in Norway. So an amazing trip lined up to see and photograph some of the most iconic animals on the planet. But with the travel restrictions and the unknown ahead of us, I'll take every day as it comes and see how it all transpires at the end of it.
Well, hopefully it all goes to plan. And I must say, I'd love your job. Where does one sign up for that?
You know, I've been incredibly privileged to have grown up in this wonderful place we call South Africa and Africa. And my passion has always been for nature. And you know, I spend huge amounts of time out in the field and just engrossing myself in those subjects, and through that I've had incredible privileges come my way. So, you know, in my case it was a case of just volunteering and spending a lot of time with organizations working with these animals, a lot of doors opened for me along the way, and at the end of it, you know, the one thing I've got to thank is nature itself and being born a person who loves the natural world.
Chris, you mentioned a few minutes ago that you're going to be doing quite a lot of work around the great white sharks next year. I've been reading a lot about this, and you touch on it in your blog post too, the disappearance of the great white shark and the dwindling numbers. Can you talk to us a bit about that?
Yeah, you know, Amy, if I had to pick out one real low light of this year, it's what's been allowed to happen to our marine resources. And to be quite honest, based on the huge pressure that was created around the subject, the government under Minister Creasy was asked to form an expert panel to look into it. And this, sadly, at the end of this, what they've still allowing to happen is they're still allowing critically endangered species to knowingly be targeted by the shark longline fishery to be exported to Australia and for fish and chips. And, you know, if you were to liken that to terrestrial terms, it would be like saying you can set a whole lot of gin traps in the Kruger National Park to catch wild dogs and cheetahs. Mm. And, you know, this is happening right in front of our eyes. It's happening all along the South Coast. 25,000 people signed a petition to have it stopped. Various prominent shark scientists, conservationists, and ecotourism operators. But very sadly, you know, government chose to continue to allow this practice to happen. And with regards to the great white sharks, one school of thought was the orcas, you know, being responsible. Mm. But another very significant school of thought, which was completely ignored, was the fact that by removal of these smaller sharks, which are actually the white sharks' main prey source, by removal of these animals, you're effectively taking away the prime reason for these sharks being here. So, you know, it was a very bitter pill to swallow when the government-appointed expert panel, you know, came out with those findings and basically blamed two orcas for what's happening along our coastline. So that was a very, very sad, I think, point in our marine history, and we'll reflect upon that in years to come and, you know, hopefully learn from it.
But surely it can't end there. There must be some kind of action that will be taken in future to put a stop to this.
Well, I certainly hope so. You know, at the end of the day, I, along with many other people along the South African coastline, have spent literally thousands of days on the oceans, either bobbing around on the surface or with our heads under the water. And what we've seen firsthand cannot be denied. The sharks have simply disappeared along our coastline. And, you know, for future generations, I feel terribly sorry for them, because I've lived an incredible life. I've spent 30 years with the world's most famous great white sharks. So I've had my fill of seeing amazing things and incredible opportunities that came from that. But for future generations, you're going to be ever more reliant on things like tourism. To not have these iconic creatures on our shore takes away unbelievable opportunities, not just economic, but also just, you know, amazing life opportunities to see these things for themselves. So younger generations really need to start putting pressure on government to look after the resources that are out there, because without our natural resources, to be quite honest, South Africa doesn't have that much more to offer than many other countries around the world. It is our beauty, it is our natural resources that really set us and the rest of our continent apart from the places that don't have these things.
Yeah, it's a terrifying thought to think about these resources dwindling. Chris, you are internationally recognized for your work. I'm sure that people overseas absolutely love it. Are your photographs for sale?
Yes, Amy, we do sell them online through our website, and we also have in Cape Town, we also have a range of posters that we've got a shop in Simonstown that sells them. But generally online is where we do most of our international purchases at the moment.
Okay, so just give us that website, please, and how people can find you.
Okay, the best way to get hold of us is through the website, which is chrisfellows.com. And then I'd love people to also join us and have a look at the imagery on Instagram, and that's also Chris Fellows Photography. And for any young people out there that would like a little bit of insight into, you know, how I got involved in working with animals, please, by all means, feel free to contact me.
Amazing. I know. I absolutely love your Instagram page. I get excited every time I see a new image. So thank you, Chris. Thanks for joining us this afternoon.